Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Visit CorinthAutoGroup.com to find the best selection on Nissan, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles. With a wide variety of both new and used at the best prices, it's always a great time to buy or lease with a payment plan you can leave smiling about. CorinthAutoGroup.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Busy, busy, busy transfer portal day around Ole Miss Sports. Appreciate you guys being here. Welcome in to Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Again, I'm so glad that you guys are here on this stormy Thursday night. I was worried, frankly, that I was going to lose power and not be able to go live with you guys, but storm came through. Wind blew, thunder, lightning, all that. Had a couple of flickers, but no lost power. So we are here live and in color talking about Ole Miss sports. The transfer portal is active right now in Ole Miss sports land, both in football, but a lot more so in basketball. Chris Beard is on a heater at the moment. I mean, a big-time heater. So we're going to talk about football. We're going to lead with football because you got to. We'll talk the basketball, the flurry of commitments that Chris Beard has gotten, and it doesn't look like he's done either. There's a baseball series upcoming this weekend that Ole Miss, I mean, they got to get wins, and it's a winnable series, but, buddy, the lineup is dangerous, and the numbers will really spell that out. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And of course, your comments, would love to hear from you. Glad that you guys are here. Before we dive in, I want to ask you to please subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening on the website at supertalk.fm, we are so glad that you're here. But pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe and leave a rating and a review, and also follow me, social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And for those of you watching on YouTube, please don't forget to like the video and subscribe to the channel as well. We'll start with football. As we've talked about already, Ole Miss needs another running back. They are going to get, I think, at least two in this transfer portal window. I thought by now we would see some movement on Henry Parrish. Maybe because I got asked earlier, like, what's the holdup? Is he having second thoughts? And my response is, I don't know, frankly. But they also could be waiting to get him in the fold until they decide who else is going to come with him. That is kind of a common thing that they have done in the past under Lane Kiffin, is if they're getting two guys that play the same position and one's already in the boat, they kind of ask him to wait until the other one gets in the boat too, and then they kind of figure it out from there. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. But I do know Ole Miss needs running backs. Ulysses Bentley, an injury. I mean, we've been through it. I don't need to rehash it again. But right now, without the addition of Parrish or anybody else, the running back room is very, very thin. It's thin on experience. It's thin on health. Ulysses Bentley, I think, is phenomenal. But, you know, he's the only one that you can depend on right now in that room. So they had to add more. And it looks like visits are happening at the moment. Penny Boone is somebody that Ole Miss fans have been interested in and locked into for a while. He was at Toledo. He transferred to Louisville, and he is one of the many guys that is getting out of Louisville. And that breakup isn't exactly pretty. He's, as this happens sometimes, he hits the portal, and it was leaked that he was running second or third team, and I don't think that's the case, especially when you look at what else Louisville is losing. Something weird's going on there. Doesn't matter. He is in the portal, ran for 1,400 yards on the nose last year from Toledo. He's 6'1", listed at 242. I think he's come down a little bit from that weight, but still big back, 6'1", 242. Again, 1,400 on the nose yards last year at Toledo on just 194 carries. So if you're doing the math at home, that's 7.2 yards per carry. Also caught 219 yards worth of passes as well. So at that size, it's pretty encouraging. Had 15 touchdowns and has not lost a fumble or fumbled the ball in, let's see, 194 plus 116. You guys can do the math. He has not fumbled the ball in his career. So a reliable back as well, holding the football. He is supposed to be visiting Ole Miss next week. This is Pete Nakos of On3 doing the reporting. Penny Boone will visit Washington this weekend. If you were Ole Miss, you would love for that visit not to happen if you want Penny Boone. Often in these portal recruitments, guys commit on their visits and they don't take others. I mean, some do. Don't get me wrong. There's a real chance that Penny Boone shows up on campus at Ole Miss, and that would be great, obviously, because they would then be able to get him. But sometimes portal guys just, they go visit one and they cancel the rest and they just sign with the one school. So Washington getting the visit, having a significant need at running back, not exactly great news for Ole Miss, but still, he is scheduled to visit Ole Miss sometime next week, according to Pete Nakos there of On3. So he was a highly sought-after guy the first time in the portal. And as you guys know, as we've talked about, there's not many like super-duper high-quality players in the portal right now anyway. So a lot of people have reached out to him, obviously, but only two visits scheduled at the moment, and Ole Miss is one of those visits. Another one that is another running back that's going to come in earlier, former Indiana running back Trent Howland is supposed to visit Ole Miss on Monday. He's also, according to Pete Thamel, planning on visiting Duke, UCF, and Oklahoma State. Now, with all due respect to those other programs, I think though Ole Miss and then the others tell me anyway, I'm trying to connect dots, maybe they're not there, that he will go to Ole Miss if Ole Miss wants him to. I know that's kind of like an arrogant thing to say without knowledge, but I do believe that seems to be the case, that Ole Miss is, again, I'm connecting dots that may not be there. I've asked people, I can't really get anywhere, but this is kind of what I think is happening. I think that they're going to wait and see if they can get Penny Boone, and if they can't, this is their guy. And he's also a gigantic back. Just finished his sophomore season. Only had 75 carries for Indiana last year, 354 yards, 4.7 per carry, though. He's huge. He's 6'3", 240, so another thumper, another really big back. And so it is very clear with those two guys being the ones that are scheduled to visit Ole Miss, again, Howland coming in on Monday, it's very clear what kind of back they're after. They've got shifty and elusive with Bentley already. If Parrish is in fact coming in, he's another back from a similar mold. One of these two guys would be your thumper. So you'd have your, and Bentley has shown you, and so has Parrish, the ability to do all of the above, but they're not 240 pounds like these guys are. So it's clear they're looking for a different style of back with these two. And these are the only two scheduled visits that I'm aware of for Ole Miss football right now. They can afford to be selective. We've talked about that before. They haven't really lost anybody yet to the portal. They have filled all of those needs for the most part. I still think they need defensive end if that's available out there. I mean, you can never have enough depth up front on the offensive line, especially if a guy or two gets in the portal, knowing that they brought in four guys up front on the offensive line and there's only so many snaps to go around, and those four guys are on paper better than the ones that existed in the program. So you might see some movement there. But Ole Miss clearly so far in the portal being selective because they can afford to be selective, haven't lost many guys anyway, haven't really lost anybody. True impact player, with the exception of Quinshon Judkins, and here they are actively in the market to replace them. Of course, they're tampering. There's, you know, another week and a half, roughly, of this window being open for the chance to have guys get in. But you guys know this, that there's just not that many impact players in the portal right now. But there are a couple of running backs that they could use, and they are both scheduled to visit Ole Miss. So I think either one would be a really solid pickup considering what they've done. Howland at the Power 5 level, Penny Boone with the high level of production, big-bodied backs. They need them. They certainly need one of those two for sure. So we'll see if they are able to pick them up. Basketball, though, boy, if you're not excited about Ole Miss basketball, then you need to jump on the train right now. Chris Beard is building a team, again, on paper. That's the thing with portal recruiting and generally with recruiting as a whole, but especially in the portal, guys are having to make an adjustment to a new school, play up a competition level and things like that. But we talked about after the season and after Chris Beard turned down Arkansas that Ole Miss was committed financially in basketball, not just for coach salary, but they were committed in NIL as well. Ole Miss basketball is better funded in NIL than most people would think that they are. There are, I mean, the administration is in on basketball, but there are fans, there are Ole Miss fans that have decided to go in on basketball and support it financially. And I mean, from my perspective, I love meaningful basketball. I'm going to stress like hell over a meaningful basketball game tomorrow, like I did the other night with you guys. But getting to cover that's going to be awesome. And I think that the roster that Chris Beard is putting together can be, and that's the operative term, is can be one that fits what he wants to do so much better. He got guys in the portal a year ago, but when you look at the roster construction, it was like just try to go get best available and kind of piece this roster together. These guys that he has gotten committed so far fit him so much better. So I'm going to go, I think, in reverse order. I think I have this order correctly. I'm going to go in reverse order. So the most recent commitment down to the furthest away that we have not talked about yet. Devon Barnes from Sam Houston committed to Ole Miss today. He's a 6'5 guard, really experienced player. He will be a fourth year. So I don't know what the eligibility situation is, but he will be a fourth year college basketball player. Again, he's 6'5, 215. He's from Memphis. Chris Beard got to see him in person at the Tad Pad game, if you guys remember that. He was good that night as well, dropped 22 points in that game. Good shooter, 39% from three, makes 84% of his free throws, seemingly a pretty willing rebounder, averages 4 rebounds per game, 2 assists, also a steal as well. Just a good pickup. They need outside shooting, and it looks like he is one and got some size on him as well. Fans were really excited about this pickup. Dre Davis from Seton Hall, who, by the way, was really, really good against the best team in the world in UConn when they played this season. But he will be a fifth year. He will be a fifth-year college basketball player, 6'6", 212. Again, he's a guard, but that's a big-body guard, and he can really play. So 35% from three, but he did shoot 41% last year from three, so a capable three-point shooter. Doesn't shoot that many, only 3 per game, but obviously the threat of him doing that and being successful at it is there. But what people apparently love about him, one, when he gets to the free throw line, he makes them, but averages 6 rebounds per game, a block and a steal per game, a willing defender, can defend multiple spots and also make outside shots and is athletic. Malik Dia, the sophomore, he will be a junior next year, a third year next year, 6'9", 240. He's from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, was at Belmont, started his college career at Vanderbilt. He's the third. Again, he's 6'9", 240, big guy. And he has some offensive skill. He shot 49% from the field and 34% from three. So he can step out and make some threes. Shot 4 per game for Belmont this past season. I have a feeling he won't get to shoot 4 per game for Ole Miss this year, but clearly has an offensive game. Makes 64% of his free throws for what it's worth. 6 rebounds, a block and a steal per game. And again, apparently a willing and active defender. And Mikeal Brown-Jones is the fourth from UNC Greensboro. His numbers, by the way, Dia, 17 points per game, 6 rebounds. Like I said, Dre Davis earlier didn't mention this, 15 points, 6 rebounds, just under 2 assists per game. Barnes, 14 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists for Sam Houston. Again, Brown Jones, 19 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game, 54% from the field. He will be a fifth year for Ole Miss this year. Can step out and make three-point shots as a 35% shooter from three in his career, but made 43% of them this year and averaged 2 3-point attempts per game. So it's something that he did do in his time there at UNC Greensboro. Makes 79% of his free throws, has a block and a steal per game. Again, 7.5 rebounds, can defend multiple spots at 6'8", 220. He looks like he's really athletic. So those are all really, really, really solid pickups. The questions are, will their game translate to the next level, playing in the SEC? Although, I mean, with Dre Davis playing at Seton Hall, it's not like that's some low major, right? He played at really good basketball teams and put really good numbers up in doing so. But you can now see, when you look at what these guys are and what at least people say that they are capable of, willing defenders, are athletic enough to defend multiple positions. If you get them out on the perimeter, they're athletic enough to hold their own defensively there, can make outside shots, can score at multiple levels. These guys are the Chris Beard mold, the positionless basketball, can defend multiple spots. A starting five that kind of looks mostly the same with height and weight and things like that. This, what you're seeing now, is what you were expecting to see a Chris Beard team to physically look like, and the ability is there. The only question remains is who else are they going to add, because they still need to continue to add. Although I guess Jamin Brakefield put a video out today that looks like he is returning. I mean, that was a point of conversation. They said Juju Murray's returning. I wouldn't expect him to start if he does return, but having his spark and his shooting off the bench and his experience certainly cannot hurt. But this, what Chris Beard is building right now, is proof of two things. It's proof that they are, in fact, a player when it comes to NIL in basketball. And Chris Beard is building a roster that looks like a Chris Beard roster is supposed to look like. And so really, really solid pickups there. Again, it's just on paper. They got to see if they translate. But what they look like on paper is really, really good. Just really, really freaking solid. And Chris Beard should be commended for that. And his staff should be commended for that, because this looks like what you were hoping it would look like so far. You should be very excited about the current state of basketball recruiting at Ole Miss. And finally, before we get to your comments, the baseball series this weekend. Ole Miss is going to have to bring their bats. They're going to have to bring their bats. Georgia, if you take away the most feared hitter in college baseball, they have 4 guys hitting above 316 and another 3 hitting 289 or better. This Georgia lineup can absolutely hit the baseball. They can mash, and Ole Miss is going to have to match that. Now, luckily for Ole Miss, Georgia pitching leaves a lot to be desired. Starters don't have great numbers. Bullpen appears to be pretty thin. They give up a lot of runs. They score runs, and they give up a lot of runs as well. So the Ole Miss pitching staff is going to be really, really tested this weekend with Georgia. Again, I mean, Condon is unbelievable. He's hitting .482 this year with 24 home runs and 52 RBIs. He's slugging at 1.109. His on-base percentage is almost .6. He's special. He's just a special baseball player. His OPS is .1695. Again, the most feared hitter in all of college baseball. I would expect Ole Miss to pitch around him as much as they can. But again, Collins is good. They have Slade Alford, the Mississippi State transfer. The Mississippi State transfer. They are a dangerous, dangerous lineup. So if Ole Miss has righted the ship, if they're starting to put things together, going to have to play clean baseball. The pitchers are going to have their best weekend of the year, and you can't slack at the plate. Breaking news, more at 11. You got to pitch it well and field it well and hit well to win a series on the road in the SEC. But with the way Georgia hits the ball, Ole Miss is really going to have to bring the bats, and they're going to have to score if they're going to get a series this weekend. They're not out of it yet, and we'll see if they can pull it off against a really good hitting, not a very good pitching Georgia team. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. You check them out online at absms.com. If you are a Mississippi business anywhere in Mississippi and you're in the need of office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's technology, if it's in the office and your business needs it, absms.com, that's the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority like they make me their priority. They have 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely going to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. You don't need multiple apps to manage your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, let's get to some of your comments now. Chris Beard, cook me some dinner. No kidding, man. I mean, yeah, I've preached this before, so I don't need to rehash it all the time. But meaningful basketball is so much fun. It's so infectious. And it's not just March either. When you have a basketball program that is fun and interesting and compelling, it starts in October. Look at Auburn. I mean, seriously, look at what Auburn has done, what every home game at Auburn looks and feels like. It's not just a March sport. Nationally, it's a March sport. But locally, what that can do to the morale of a fan base and just the engagement of a fan base and what that can do for your town and your school and everything else, I think Ole Miss is really about to be that, like, already. In 2024/25. I think that Chris Beard is building that, and just he's given you no reason to doubt his coaching prowess, and now he's putting a roster together that makes a heck of a lot more sense for what he's trying to do. So, yeah, he's absolutely cooking right now. Some huge basketball pickups over the week. Beard is a beast, no doubt. We need a back penny size, a thumper. Absolutely. Absolutely they do. They are emphasizing scoring in the portal for Ole Miss basketball. Yeah, Chris Beard had a couple of bigs that didn't really have an offensive game, and he decided never again. Never again am I going to have bigs that cannot score the basketball. And that's something that we talked about during the season. That was just missing with this team is when they were struggling from the outside, they lost. It was over because they couldn't just get the ball to a big that can get them a good bucket. They were either lacking in skill or athleticism, and it looks like they've got a couple of guys that can get you a bucket, that have athleticism, that have offensive skill. They're comfortable with the basketball. They can make shots. It is imperative in today's game to have big men that can score, and Ole Miss did not have big men that could score, and it looks like, at least on paper, that they do now. Man, appreciate the super chat. Thank you so much. I appreciate you a lot. Glad that you are here, and thank you for that. You are way too kind. Way, way, way too kind. Watching the Tulane game from 2022, I believe Parrish was a beast in that game, but we need a thumper for sure. Absolutely. And I think that I haven't heard anything to make you believe that Parrish is not coming. And maybe he's not. I don't know. I haven't heard anything that makes you believe that is not still happening. But if they just added Parrish, you guys are exactly right. When you keep talking about thumpers, they would be missing that. They absolutely would be missing that because Diggs is not going to be ready. So they need that. And, man, I keep going back to what this offense can be if they are able to generate a lead. Because now you have two. You have one really, really, really good tight end, and now you've added a really experienced tight end on top of that. We haven't seen him play in an Ole Miss uniform, but still. So you've got two tight ends with a ton of Power 5 experience, a much improved offensive line on paper. with a backfield that would include Bentley and Parrish and another one of these guys, whether it be Penny Boone or the other, you could really just wear teams down and like demoralize them. You could really load up the box and just control clock and control games and just demoralize people with just lining up and running the football right at them. Hadn't been something that they've been able to do really all that consistently, you know, in modern Ole Miss football, right? But with what they've built on the offensive line paired with what they might have in the backfield and at tight end, I don't think they've had tight end depth like this ever. I mean, Knox was really good. Evan Ingram was really, really good. But I don't think they had multiple guys like this that they could put on the field at the same time comfortably. Maybe I'm wrong. I might not be remembering correctly, but that is something that I keep thinking of. Is we all know this Kiffin offense to be fun and explosive and all that stuff, but I think that there's going to be games this year where they line up and they make it boring, and they just run right at you and say stop us, and people will say I can't. You know, you don't think the baseball team will be any better than they are right now, and that's average. They can prove you wrong, and you'll be fine with that. And the schedule gives them an opportunity, but the margin for error is quite small. You sure as hell can't get swept this week, and frankly, kind of, I don't know. The schedule is much easier than we thought it would be down the stretch, but sure can't get swept this weekend. Not at all. Appreciate the super chatting. Thank you. Thank you very much. That means a ton. A whole lot. I appreciate you. You're super excited about the basketball team for next year. You know, people were excited going into this season just because of the fact that Chris Beard, who took Texas Tech to a national championship, was coaching them. You're going to see basketball hype and like fever pitch. That, I mean, I don't want to say ever, but since I've moved to Mississippi, I don't think you'll have the hype into basketball, locally anyway, that you're going to get this season. It's awesome. I cannot wait. Truly, I can't. I'm very excited to do post game stuff and talk basketball and engage with basketball with you guys. If you told me after the Peach Bowl that Q was leaving, but you're going to get Parrish, Boone, and Diggs, so your running back room is going to be better. If Lane pulls that off, this year's transfer portal class needs to be put down in history as the best ever. And then Brandon responds, Willis, Lane is the best ever on this. Yeah. I would say that there's not even a close second in this. Now, like, Sark does a really good job at Texas, but you guys know the difference between Texas and Ole Miss. Pair the historical, I don't want to say it like that because times have changed, but still, what Sark does at Texas is not as impressive as is. I'm talking terribly tonight. Forgive me. What Sark does at Texas is not as impressive as what Lane Kiffin is doing at Ole Miss. He's the best at this. He has adapted to this era better than anybody. And I know that he hasn't won a championship or made the playoff yet. But when you talk about resources and stuff like that, what Kirby's doing at Georgia is awesome. But he's at Georgia. Kiffin would have a championship too if he was at Georgia. It's a little bit different when you're trying to build Ole Miss from what he took over, which was a program in purgatory. He's having to build Ole Miss. You don't have to build Georgia. You don't have to build Texas. It's already got everything you need. He's building at Ole Miss right now. He's the coach in the country that has navigated this era the best. You still don't get slugging percentage. Slugging percentage is like how many bases you get per at bat. So it's, do you hit for power? Essentially, are your hits a bunch of singles or do you get doubles and triples and home runs? With the running backs, don't forget, we offered the kid from Indiana and may still have a shot with Damian Martinez. Yeah, you must have just joined late, and that's okay. I appreciate you joining regardless of what time you do, but talked about the Indiana kid earlier. And the Martinez deal, I have not seen him line up a visit to Ole Miss yet, and so until oh, I'm sorry. I got a text that was very distracting. Forgive me. So until a visit is actually set up, I'm not going to spend much time talking about Martinez with you guys just because I feel like I'd be wasting my time talking about somebody who's not even scheduled to visit Ole Miss yet. So, but yes, that would be incredible. It would be absolutely incredible. I need to see him set up a visit first. You don't think they need a Martinez or a premier back for that matter? If they get one or two of complimentary backs in Boone or Parrish, that would be an insane running back room. Absolutely. You would much rather have an elite back if an elite back is out there. But if you have a trio of really, really good backs, especially with this Kiffin offense paired with the weapons at wide receiver, and when Judkins left, the conversation was, well, how are they going to replace Judkins? You're not. There's not another Judkins out there. He's an elite level player. I know that the way he left and now that some of the stuff that went down while he was at Ole Miss has come out, things like dealing with charitable stuff and all that, like that's all out there now. And so people really don't like how that went down. You can't deny he's an elite level back. He's a high level running back. There isn't a guy out there that you want to give the ball 270 times to next year, and that's okay. Are there a couple of guys out there that you want to give 100 plus carries each to that will give you 6 yards per carry? Okay. That's all you need. That is all you need, and the offense can still be elite and fresh. They didn't have any offensive games and apparently can't rebound being 7-footers. Well, in Sharp's defense, his length is almost a detriment when it comes to that. He wasn't athletic enough. Because rebounding is desire, positioning, stuff, athleticism. It's not just being tall. It's the other stuff. And I think that he just lacked in the other stuff that prevented him from being a really good rebounder. Just our luck. Both of the bigs couldn't score to save their lives. Yeah. 7 foot and 7'5" couldn't score. You don't really care for Parrish. He wasn't good at Ole Miss, and they already have what he brings. I disagree with the wasn't good part. And then you say you'd rather have Roscano play over Parrish, more upside. Do we know that? That hadn't taken a meaningful snap. We have no idea what upside he has. He could be the second coming of Deuce McAllister, but I think the coaching staff going after as many running backs as they are on the portal kind of tells you what they think about what they have. That's not good. And yeah, they already have what he brings, but what happens if Bentley gets hurt? It's a physical position. You can't just say, well, hey, we've got Bentley, and so it's all I need, because Bentley also hasn't exactly been able to stay healthy either. So if he goes down and you don't have anybody that's adequate to step into his shoes, I think that you need to stack if you can stack. I think they tried to turn Quinshon into that thumper this past season, just didn't work out because it's not his skill set. I mean, he was pretty special this season. I mean, really special. They don't beat State without him. For sure. I mean, I don't know. He was really, 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 really good for Ole Miss this year. Really good. He resembles a lot of what Bentley did last year. He does. Logan Diggs might be a sleeper at running back. If he didn't get hurt, I don't think they'd be as quote-unquote desperate in the portal. But the line of thinking right now is that he's not going to be available when the season begins. Now, he may be available later. But as of this moment, everything that I've heard, and again, I could be wrong, but everything that I've heard is that he will not be available when the season begins. And so because of that, what happens if he can never get available, right? Sure, he can, but, you know, you can't go into a season assuming that he'll be 100% helping you by the 1st of October. Can't wait to see Diggs if he comes in with fresh legs towards the end of the year. I think that will be, and if he does that, great. But I think his addition will be massive for 2025. I think that's when it will really be like, okay, they've got something here. Because he's flying under the radar, very little fanfare, again, because of the injury and things like that. But he can play, and he can definitely play in that offense. So Lane's the best of the portal, and he preaches against it. I actually respect that about him more than anything else. That he hates the system, thinks it sucks, but takes advantage and wins with it. He'd win a lot of ways. He's a really good coach. This year's portal is just different. We're all around better on offense and defense. The only question is maybe special teams. They're not as desperate right now. They're simply not as desperate, and it shows. Any chance to get Barron back? You've heard it's possible. That has been the long-running rumor, Barbara, is that he's going to hit the portal and go back to Ole Miss. I think they need help there. Everybody has talked about how that's going to happen. But until he hits the portal, I guess it's not going to, right? But, yeah, so many people are talking about it to the point where it's hard to ignore and dismiss. I think they could really use him. Has not hit the portal as of this moment. Really hope they can get Boone. He looks like Snoop Connor 2.0 with better vision and ability to make people miss. It's a really good player. The reason a lot of people wanted him. Guys that size with his ability don't really grow on trees. You wonder if Diggs could redshirt this year? Certainly possible. Wouldn't surprise me. Does he have a redshirt year? I should know that. Let me see here. I mean, just completely flying under the radar. 653 yards last year for LSU on 5.5 per carry. He would have a redshirt year. Looks like he had 52 carries in 2021. I can't imagine that was in four games or less. So it looks like he should have a redshirt year. That would make sense. Even if Diggs doesn't play this year, he comes into 25 with a year in the system under his belt, which is never a bad thing. Absolutely. Paris was good, just not game-changing, which is why you said that. There's a ton of high-caliber running backs in the portal, that's all. Yeah. There's also a price, though. You know what I mean? So what if Martinez is asking double what you could get? Or what if Martinez is asking just for him what you could get two backs for? And you look at what you need, what it costs, and what kind of impact they would have at that cost. And maybe they don't find somebody like that worth what he's asking for. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of moving parts here. Certainly valid. It's absolutely valid. But I do think that Parrish can really help that team. I do think so. Dell just says, hi, tidy, everyone. Glad to see you, Dell. Appreciate you being here, man. Just how Bentley looked better than Q last year at times. He did. He did look better than Judkins at times last year. But there's a reason Lane gave one of them 270 carries, right? But Bentley's capable of being a game changer. I mean, the offense, my goodness, if they can just get one of these guys at running back, think of what they would have. If they get Penny Boone, that's 1,400 yards rushing from him, paired with Bentley and Parrish as well at running back. You've got two tight ends, one of which, Priestcorn, I think, is going to be like all SEC this year good. You've got the trio of wide receivers. Wells, I know that he's been on a scooter. I've heard he's going to be okay by the time the season begins. But you're too deep at wide receiver. This offense has a chance to be the best that Ole Miss has ever had. Just the weapons and the depth and the experience. It's not just like, well, it's not like Auburn, for example, who's got a bunch of freshman receivers that everybody's like, you know, they're so talented. If they translate, we'll see. They're freshmen. Ole Miss's offense is filled with guys that you already know what they can do. It's a different deal. Got to watch Ely at Jackson Prep practice for a senior year. He made those kids look stupid. Yeah. Yeah, I had the pleasure of playing against Marcus Lattimore three times as a linebacker. I know all about feeling stupid trying to tackle elite running backs. Wonder if college football will start evaluating running backs like the NFL, that they'll not be amongst the highest paid players on Power 5 teams. I think you're already seeing that. Yes, Barron is not in the portal yet. He has to re-enter. He has to re-enter. So, what do I think the problem is at Colorado and Louisville and so many transfers leaving? What the solution is, it seems Ole Miss has in keeping theirs for the most part. Kind of feels like it's two different reasons. There might be, this may be wrong, but again, the way the guy that was involved with Louisville's NIL deal went after an anonymous Twitter account, which I'm not going after an anonymous Twitter. I just, a guy in that position, if he was secure in what they were doing, would not be threatening lawsuits to an anonymous Twitter account unless, you know, hit dog hollers, right? Squeaky wheel gets the grease, whatever it is, whatever expression you want to use. The way he reacted makes me believe that there was truth to what was said that made him react that way. Colorado, it appears that they have a coach that is trying to approach this differently. And I think that it's a disaster. Openly admitting that you don't recruit, you don't go on the road recruiting. You have to build relationships to recruit. You have to build relationships to roster build. And when Colorado is coached by somebody that actively does not recruit, this is what you get. You get just cycling dudes in and out, in and out, in and out. And then when the guys leave, the coach laughs about it and talks about how they're all scrubs. Whereas Dillingham at Arizona State, when Rashada hits the portal, sends him a message on Twitter about how proud he is of him and can't wait to watch him succeed or whatever he said. That's what's going on at Colorado. It's arrogance by somebody that has been great at what he's done. He's been great at everything. Great at everything. But you can't just show up in college football coaching and win. Doesn't work that way. You don't know what the problem is at those schools, but I know our solution to keeping kids is Walker Jones and the coaching staff. With all due respect to Walker, don't sell you guys short. It's the fans. Walker can't do anything without money. Kiffin can't do anything without money. Billy Glasscock, the new GM, can't do anything without money. Where do they get the money? That's you guys. You, the fans, give them money. You think Colorado has another bad year? 100%. Yeah, it's going to be a disaster. Watch. Their schedule is a lot tougher, too. Deion saying he doesn't recruit because he's too famous is hilarious for an excuse. I admire the ingenuity on that one, for sure. But, yeah. Deion is dumb for not getting in some parents' living rooms. It's all he would have to do in a lot of cases. Absolutely. That's what makes it so stupid, Barbara. That's what makes it so dumb. It's you're Deion Sanders. These kids' parents would love you if you just showed up. If you just showed up. Oh, well. It's going to be a disaster again. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Enjoy your baseball this weekend. We will be back Sunday night. We will be back Sunday night, 8 o'clock to recap the baseball series. And I know there's going to be some portal stuff happening because there's just always portal stuff happening. So I appreciate you guys very much. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and I'll see you on Sunday. Y'all have a good weekend.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.